As we all know, today is July 4th, a day set aside to celebrate our freedoms as Americans and to, more importantly, reflect upon what it means and what it costs for us to be free. After the Revolutionary War had been going on for about a year, on July 2nd, 1776, the Continental Congress voted to declare independence from Great Britain. On July 4th, which had been 2 days later, the Declaration of Independence, which was a document or a formal explanation of why the Continental Congress voted to declare independence from the oppressive rule of England, and that Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 men. But the Declaration of Independence, which most Americans are completely ignorant about, and most confuse it with the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence was and is also a declaration of dependence upon God. Not only a declaration of independence, but a declaration of dependence upon the Lord. And it is shown throughout Scripture that it is only as we maintain dependence upon God that we can maintain and that we can enjoy our freedom. I'd like to speak this morning on the cycle of freedom and bondage. What I really wanted to preach on, the Lord just wouldn't allow it, I wanted to draw a comparison between the Continental Congress and the Congress of the United States today. Quite a comparison. Be the difference between patriots and politicians. And we need some patriots today. We don't need politics. We've got plenty of them. But we do need some patriots. But that's not the message. We desire to look at this cycle that is presented all through the Old Testament and apply it to the children of God. The cycle is illustrated in history of Israel throughout the Old Testament. And again, though it's not our intent to view this cycle as applying to nations, it certainly does. It certainly is applicable to all nations of the world, and it certainly applies to the United States today. But we want to apply it to you and I as God's people. I'm going to look at several scriptures. We'd like to begin in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, where we see Israel in bondage. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor or severity and harshness. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor or severity and harshness. So we see them in bondage. Now if we turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. We read that after 430 years, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now looking at the beginning of their freedom from bondage. And then if we turn to Exodus chapter 14, verse 30. Exodus 14, verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. So as the Israelites began to leave Egypt, the Egyptians, as we know, would pursue them. And in Exodus 14, verse 30, the verse that we just read, Israel is set free. They have been set free from bondage. They have been granted liberty. They would eventually go from liberty to abundance. And God instructed them in the book of Deuteronomy. And if we turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, He instructed them concerning their newfound liberty, concerning their abundance that they were about to enter into, and how that they needed to live their lives if they were going to maintain their freedom, if they were going to maintain their liberty. There were certain things that they needed to do. If they were going to enjoy their abundance, that is, their entrance into the land of Canaan, Moses instructs them all through the book of Deuteronomy. These are the things that you must do. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, in verse 6, he reminded them that they owed their deliverance, that they owed their freedom entirely to him. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So the first thing in order to maintain freedom is to realize where it came from. And God, Moses told Israel, God said, I am the one that brought thee out. And then he proceeded to give the Ten Commandments in the following verses. But then notice, begin reading in Deuteronomy 5, verse 31. Again, he's instructing them how to maintain their newfound freedom, how to enjoy this freedom and this life of abundance that they were about to enter into. In verse 31, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which is Canaan, which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, that ye may continue to live, and that it may continually be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land, Canaan, a land of freedom, a land of abundance, which ye shall possess. Verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land of freedom, whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightst fear the Lord, keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. Do what I have commanded you, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, that you might grow in this freedom, that you might grow in this abundance that you are about to experience, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Then notice verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Do not forget, when you're enjoying the abundance of freedom, do not forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth. Now what he's saying to Israel is applicable today. Verse 17, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. And then notice in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, make no covenant with the enemy, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give thee unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord. Thou art a separated people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. That's the setting free from bondage, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, all of these verses, along with the entire book of Deuteronomy, reveals that freedom or liberty does not consist in doing whatever you want to do. When God set Israel free, he did not spend the book of Deuteronomy telling them, now you are free to do whatever you want to do. That's not freedom. That is a freedom that will bring enslavement. But instead, he says, you are free. You have been set at liberty, not to do just what you want to do, but now, because you are free, you have the opportunity, you have the freedom to do what's right. You have the freedom to do what's right, which is to obey me, which is to serve me. In other words, you now have the freedom to be what God would have you to be. This is what he's telling them all through the book of Deuteronomy. He uses the word here 30 times in the book of Deuteronomy. 30 times God speaks and says, hear, hear what I say. You are free, but listen, listen to what I'm saying, is what God is telling Israel. 39 times he uses the word keep. He gives his commandments. And he says, you are free. Now keep these commandments. And 100 times he uses the word do. Do. Do what I have told you to do. If you want to maintain your freedom, God is saying, hear what I have to say, keep what I say, and do what I say. If you want to enjoy that freedom, these are the things that you must do. So a people that have been set free have a responsibility. It is not only to, and it is only as we fulfill that responsibility that we maintain our freedom. We in the United States are fast losing freedom. And the reason is because we have ceased doing the things that maintain freedom. And this is illustrated all through the Word of God. He warned them concerning complacency in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Again, we're going to make application to you and I as individuals. But in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And he goes on and he mentions many curses. And then we go to verse 30. And he says, again, this goes back to what he said to the verse that we just read there in verse 15. If you do not obey me, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. This all goes back. If you do not listen to what I say, if you do not hearken, if you do not do what I say, this is what will happen. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway. Verse 36, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. What he is telling them is, if you do not listen to what I say, if you do not keep what I say, if you do not do what I say, you will go again into bondage. Again, there's a cycle.
They were in bondage. They have been set free. And now God is telling them, you do these things, and if you do not do them, you will return again to bondage. The book of Joshua, we see this people. They have been set free. They have been released. They have been rescued from the cruel bondage. And in the book of Joshua, they enter into the land of Canaan. A land of abundance. A land of joy. But by the time we get to the book of Judges, these people that have been set free, these people that have enjoyed the abundant life, are overtaken and are consumed with the spirit of self-interest, self-absorption, self-sufficiency, concerned only for their own happiness, concerned only for their own satisfaction, disobeying the Lord, doing that which is right in their own eyes, striving to live their life without God. And what happened? Just what God said would happen. Chaos followed. Book of Judges, chapter 3. Book of Judges, chapter 3, verse 7. And we see this as a reoccurring theme throughout the book of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them. That is, they entered into bondage. Here's a free people, and they are now going back into bondage. We know that God would rise up a judge, deliver the people once again, but the cycle continues. Judges 3, verse 12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And once again, they go into bondage. God raises up a deliverer. They are set free. The cycle continues. Judges 4, verses 1 and verse 2, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Once again, they go into bondage. Chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Once again, they've run the cycle, and they've entered bondage. Chapter 10. Verse 6, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And he goes on to say there in verse 6 that they served false gods and they forsook the Lord and served him not. In verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Again, there's bondage. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. Bondage and oppression. Once again. And it all goes back to, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 1. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. 40 years. All through the book of Judges is a sad, sad book. But there is an unbroken cycle. A people set free, refusing to do it God's way, insisting on living life their own way. And every single time it led to bondage. Later on, we know that Israel, they wanted to be like everyone else. They wanted to have a king. And you read through the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, and you see that this would eventually lead to Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. So it is the repeating. It is the repeating of this cycle that is seen throughout the Old Testament. A people is set free by the miraculous power and intervention of God. And that people, having been set free, is now enjoying the abundance of God. But somewhere along the line, self gets in the way. And God and the ways of God are rejected. And God and the ways of God are forgotten. And God and God's ways are replaced with one's own reasoning and one's own ways. And the result is chaos. The result is disorder. The result is confusion. The result is pandemonium. The result is turmoil. The result is upheaval. And the result is a mess. But we see this cycle all through the Old Testament. Don't you think that God is telling us something? God is telling us something. There is freedom, but freedom can only be maintained and enjoyed if you live as God would have you to live. You're free to obey God. You're free to do what God says. Now do it. And if you refuse to do that, you will return to a life of chaos. And look, again, we could apply this to the United States, but that's not our point. We want to apply it to you and I as God's people, because I see this same cycle reoccurring over and over and over again in the lives of God's people. God's people, their lives are filled with chaos. Their lives are filled with disorder and confusion and turmoil and upheaval. And many, they're just a mess because they've fallen into this cycle. And they live their lives in bondage. Now, as terrible, as cruel, as miserable, as hard, and as oppressive as Israel's enslavement to Egypt was, you and I were born and lived in a far, far more dreadful and overpowering slavery. We lived our lives under the mastery and under the tyranny of sin and Satan. And every unsaved individual today lives their lives under the mastery and under the tyranny of sin and Satan. And there we were. We were held securely by sin's deadly grip. We read in Proverbs 5 and verse 22 that we are holding with the cords of sin. In Acts chapter 8, And verse 23, we read of the bond or the restraints of iniquity. The bond of iniquity. The restraints of iniquity. And that is a far, far worse bondage than any bondage that a nation might be in to another nation. Romans 8, verse 21, we read of the bondage or the servitude, the domination of corruption. The bondage of corruption, which is the bondage of depravity, the bondage of degeneracy, the bondage of wickedness. That's where we were. We were so bound. We were so enslaved. We were so restrained by the tyranny of sin and Satan that we sat in utter darkness, unable to see the kingdom of God, unable to enter the kingdom of God, unable to understand the word of God. So bound, so restrained, that we were unable to come to Christ. And we were unable to please the Lord. So enslaved that we were utterly powerless and incapable. The psalmist described this slavery in Psalm 40 and verse 2. As a horrible pit, or as a horrific dungeon. Isaiah, in Isaiah 38 and verse 17, referred to it as the pit of corruption. And this pit speaks of the depths of sin's enslavement, the depths of sin's tyranny. We that are saved, we that are saved have been set free. There was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ came where we were and set us free from the power, from the sway of sin and Satan. The psalmist refers to this in Psalm 40. Verse 2 and 3, he said, he's brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. That's release. And he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. It's freedom. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That's the enjoyment of freedom. And Isaiah declared in Isaiah 38 and 17, but thou in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. And this deliverance, this setting free, is illustrated all through the Word of God. And again, you and I that are saved, there came a day when Jesus Christ came where we were. And there we sat in the chains of sin, bound, incapable of breaking those chains, incapable of escaping the prison, the dungeon that we were in. And the Lord came and broke our chains and set us free. And when He set you free, He did not set you free so that you could live any way you want to live. He set you free so that you could do what He told you to do, so that you could be what He would have you to be, so that you could please the Lord, so that we could serve Him. We read in Galatians 5 and verse 1, stand fast. That is, stand firm, stand loyal and devoted in the liberty Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You see, the freedom that we have spiritually brings a responsibility. Stand fast in it. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion or an opportunity to the flesh. That's not what you were set free for. Do not use that liberty for an opportunity for the flesh. Because if you do, you won't have it long. You'll enter back into a life of bondage. I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about living. We see in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but what are we to use our liberty for but as the servants of God? Christ set us free. And now, just like the children of Israel were instructed to serve God, we are free. We are free to serve God. But again, I remind you that in the Old Testament, there is laid out a cycle of freedom and back to bondage again. And just as Israel was overcome with the spirit of self-interest and became more concerned with their own plans, became more concerned with their own ways rather than God's ways, and just as they lost sight of God and replaced God with others, and you will always replace God when you forsake Him. You always will. And having done all this, they over and over and over again fell back into bondage and slavery and brought utter chaos into their lives. And Paul warns us in Galatians 5 and verse 1, after he said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, he said, be not entangled. That is, intertwined, snarled, captured, bogged down with the yoke of bondage. There's a danger. There is a danger that you and I, as individuals, will repeat the same cycle laid out in the Old Testament time and time and time again. And this is why so many of God's people are bogged down. So bogged down that they cannot enjoy their freedom. So bogged down that they cannot serve God. Because they have entered again into a life of bondage. When God set us free, it wasn't so that we could enter back into bondage. It was so that we could serve the Lord. But now, how many times those who profess to be saved, their lives more often than not are filled with disorder? They're bogged down. They're intertwined with the affairs of this life. More often than not, their life is filled with confusion, filled with turmoil, filled with upheaval. The joy is gone. There's no joy in being a slave. There's no joy in being in bondage. And that is how most of God's people live. And they do so for the same causes as Israel. They cannot do. Many of God's people cannot do what they have the authority to do. And they live lives of defeat. And they live lives of discouragement. Because somewhere along the line, they cease to listen to God. They've replaced God. And they insist on doing it their own way. And they're seeking their own satisfaction. And it leads to chaos. It leads to bondage every single time. You want to bring your family into bondage? Do it your way. Do it your way. You want to destroy your marriage? You want a marriage of bondage? Do it your way. Or you want freedom? Do it God's way. God has given us freedom. Spiritual freedom. To do what we ought to do. To be what we ought to be. If we're not careful, we fall into this cycle. And we enter into a life of bondage. And you read Psalm 107. You see, the children of Israel would fall into bondage. They would cry out unto God, and God would deliver them. They would repent, and God would deliver them, but it wouldn't be long. They'd be right back into bondage. And is that not how it is today? People are in bondage. They cry out unto God, and I believe many times they do so sincerely. And God sets them free, but mark it down, it won't be long. They'll be right back into the bondage. Why? Because they keep doing the same things. Over and over and over again. Somewhere along the line, when you get the same results repeatedly, somewhere along the line, you've got to change what you're doing. And this is what God's people refuse to do. So we see the cycle. We were in bondage. The worst of all bondage. God in His grace set us free. And oh, what a blessed thing, what a wonderful thing to live in that freedom. What a life. To live enjoying the freedom that God has given us. Enjoying that. But all far too often, we enter back into a life of bondage. You know, it wasn't long after the children of Israel was delivered. It didn't take long for some of them to begin to say, we need to go back to Egypt. You know, we had it better there. And had they been allowed to go back, they would have. And I thank God for the many times that you and I would have gone back. But God didn't let us. There have been many times we would have gone back. But God didn't let us. Are you enjoying? First of all, do you have this freedom? Has there been a day in your life when Christ came where you were and set you free? And you remember that day that you were set free from the tyranny of sin and Satan? Have you experienced that? That's the most important question. Secondly, if you have, are you enjoying that life of freedom today? Are you standing fast in that liberty? Are you using that liberty to serve the Lord? Or have you been overcome with the spirit of self-interest? And every time you are overcome with the spirit of self-interest, you're going to enter back into bondage. And now you know you've been saved. You know there was a time you've been set free. But you have to confess, my life is a life of bondage. My life is a life of chaos. There's only one way to get out of that. There's only one way to break that cycle. And that is to return to God, forsake your own ways, and to return
to God and feel that freedom once again. We don't have to live our lives in bondage. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us, and we can live in the enjoyment of that, but only as we follow God's instruction. So I ask you today, are you free? Are you free? Are you enjoying that freedom? Or have you entered back into a life of bondage? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.